All right, Joseph, good morning. So we left off. Today's daf is Tesvov. We left off on Yud Dalid Amud Beis. So we left off. We actually started Tan Rabban already, right? We left off with Amar Rebbe Lozer. It's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 lines up from the bottom, middle of the line. But Amar Rebbe Lozer, said, Ein Adam Chashav Ra'ui. A chashuv person, an important person, should not prostrate himself. Remember, again, when they speak about prostration, they're referring to a form of tefillah. Literally, pishu to them, raglayim, they prostrate themselves fully on the ground. So the Rebbe Lozer says, a person, an important person, should not do prostration unless, of course, he knows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to answer him, just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu went ahead and answered Yoshua ben Nun. Now look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Rashoi lipo apanov levazos atzam ufneatzibor, because the act of prostration is one that literally could potentially demean his covet in the eyes of the tzibor. She'im lo ya'ane yecharfu. As I'll say, what happens if a person engages in this incredible display of prayer and then is not answered, so it will erode his standing within the eyes of the community. Kach shamati, ele im ken yodin bo shu chashav ki Yoshua, shema HaKadosh Baruch Hu kum l'cha lama ze ato nofa apanecha. So we'll say here, now the Gemara quotes the Pasuk. The Gemara says, shene emar, ha'yomar shema Yoshua gatzit Yoshua kum l'cha, get up. Why are you falling on your face? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Yoshua, there's no need to prostrate yourself, for I've already decided to answer your request. So the Gemara says, therefore, based on that, a person should not engage in kipishu daim raglaim unless, of course, he's sure that he's going to be answered like Yoshua ben Nun. So the Gemara goes right. V'amar Rebbe Lozer, Rebbe Lozer said, Ein adam chashav roi lach gor sak, ela imkin na'ane ki yohoram ben achav. Similarly, an important person should not don sackcloth. So say sometimes you can still see this today, that in periods in Israel where there's not enough rain, there are these groups of men that gather by the kotel, and they daven, and they literally put on sackcloth. So the Gemara says that a person should not go ahead and put on sackcloth to daven before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, unless, of course, he knows he's going to be answered like Yehoram ben Achav. Shene emar, vahi kishmoa hamelech es divrei ha'isha. It was when the king heard the words of the woman, vaikras begadav, he tore his clothing, over lachoma, he was walking by the wall. Vayar ha'am, people saw him. Vinei asak al b'saro, and the sackcloth was on his flesh. So we'll say it's very interesting. Yehoram ben Achav was not a good guy. He was not the tzaddik by any stretch of the imagination. What the Gemara is relating over here with this particular episode in Navi, it's quoting over here the pasuk from Malachim Beis. This particular episode in Navi dealt with the following situation. There was massive famine in Eretz Yisrael, and a woman came to Yehoram ben Achav with a complaint. What was the complaint? That two women had arranged that they were going to go ahead and kill their children, and they would divide up the meat from between the children. And one woman came to the other saying that her fellow reneged on her side of the bargain. And Yehoram ben Achav was so shaken by the testimony of this woman, that literally that's where famine. And also, you know, again, when you get to situations like that, it's much more than just simple hunger. It's something much more profoundly broken within society. When Yehoram ben Achav heard this, he davened before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and even though he himself was not such a great guy, at the end of the day, that tefillah that he engaged in was so sincere and so profound that the Gemara holds it out as a model. Don't go ahead and don the sackcloth unless, of course, you are going to be as sincere as Yehoram ben Achav. Bamar Rebbe Lozer said, Lo akol b'kriya, v'lo akol b'nefila. Not everyone is answered by rending their garments, and not everyone is answered by prostration. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? Moshe v'Aaron b'nefila. Moshe and Aaron, their tefillas were answered when they prostrated themselves before God. Yoshua v'Kaliv b'kriya. And Yoshua and Kaliv were only answered once they tore their clothing. Moshe v'Aaron b'nefila. Where do we see that Moshe and Aaron were answered with prostration? D'chsiv, v'yipol Moshe v'Aaron al pneihem. Because the Torah says that Moshe and Aaron fell on their faces. This is talking about by the Meraglim. Yoshua v'Kaliv b'kriya. How do we know that Yoshua and Kaliv were answered with rending of their garments? D'chsiv, Yoshua ben Nun, v'Kaliv ben Yefuna, karu bigdehem. So the idea is that Moshe and Aaron are answered by God when they prostrate themselves. Yoshua and Kalev are answered by God when they tear their clothing. So the Gemara says, "Fine, maskif Rabbi Zera, v'itim Rabbi Shlomo Bar Nachmani." So Rabbi Zera raises a contradiction, and others say Rabbi Shlomo Bar Nachmani, "Ihava ksev Yehoshua kidkamrit." If the pasuk would have said Yehoshua benun v'Kalev ben Yifuna karu bigdehem, I would have agreed with you. Hashda dechsev v'Yehoshua. But once it now the pasuk says Vyoshuv, now we'll say that Vav is the Vav Hamosiv, right? It's the Vav, it adds on from that which was stated previously. Hava ha of it. It teaches us that what? That Yehoshua did both. Yehoshua tore his clothing and he also prostrated himself. Vav Rabbelazar, Rabbelazar says similarly. Lo'akol b'kimov, lo'akol b'shtachaviyah. This is very interesting. In the Messianic era, Yemos HaMashiach, so the nations will pay homage to Klal Yisrael. So Rabbi Elazar says, some will stand up for us, and some will prostrate themselves before us. Melachim b'kima, the Gentile kings will stand up for Klal Yisrael. The son b'shtach aviyah, and the Gentile nobility will prostrate themselves. Melachim b'kima, how do we know that kings will stand up for us? T'chsev, ko amar Hashem gol Yisrael kidosho. So said God, the Redeemer of Israel in their holiness, top of Tesvav. So he quotes over here again this pasuk. This pasuk is from Yeshaya. So the pasuk says, "Livzo nefesh to those who are literally degraded of soul, limitayiv goy those who are despised among the nations, leeved moshlim those ultimately who serve the servants, milochim yiru v'kumu one day." And again, Yeshaya is referring to the Messianic era. One day, the kings will see them and reference them being Klal Yisrael v'kumu and will stand up. V'sarim v'yishtachaviyah. How do we know that the nobility will prostrate themselves? D'chsev, sarim v'yishtachavu. Maskif Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera says, one second, v'tim Rabbi Shlomo Rachmani. Iha v'ksev v'sarim v'yishtachavu k'dika amrit. So if it would have said v'sarim and the nobility will bow down, I would have agreed. Hashla d'chsev sarim v'yishtachavu. But now that it says sarim v'yishtachavu, hava ha avid, it means that the nobility will do both. While the kings will just go ahead and stand up, the nobility, which is one rung down from the monarchy, will both stand up as well as afterwards prostrate themselves before Klal Yisrael. Both says a very beautiful Gemara. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak said, "Af ani Omer, so do I say, lo hakol leora, v'lo hakol leSimcha." Both says very profound. In the world to come, in Olam Haba, not everyone will receive the light, and not everyone will receive the joy, simcha, that the world to come has to offer. Listen to this. Tzadikim la'ora, the righteous will find the light. V'yisharim l'simcha, and those who are just, will find simcha. I will say, it's actually interesting. The way that many of the Mefarshim understand is that simcha is higher than ora. Simcha is higher than ora. So what the Gemara is saying over here is that tzadikim, the righteous, yes, will have beautiful light. But to be a yosher, to be a just person, an upright person, an honest person, just a good person, a mensch, so that even a higher level than tzaddikim. So the tzaddikim will have light, but the yesharim ultimately will have simcha, will have joy. And I will say, if you think about it, it's a little bit of quid pro quo, because very often, to be a yosher comes with incredible expense in life. It could come with financial expense, but it also comes with a lot of other expense, because very often when you're a yasher, you have to bite your tongue, you have to hold back a little bit, and there's a lot of angst that's generated in the kishkas of people who try to be yasher. So the schar for that is, in Yiras Hashem, you'll have an eternity of true simcha. And where does he call this from? The chsiv, or zarua latzadik. Literally, the light is sown for the righteous, ul yisharim simcha. And ultimately, for the upright, for the yashar, for the straight ones, they will have simcha. Dechsev u'lishreilev simcha. To those who are literally straight of heart, they will have simcha. Hadron alach me'emasai. Seder ta'anios, ketzah. So we'll say now, here's what we've established in the first. Well, we've established many things in the first paragraph, but among the things we've established is the order of the fast days. So remember, we have a total of 13 fast days broken up into three different parts. First three, second three, last seven. And remember again, they increase in intensity and severity as the fast days progress, which is obviously logical, because remember, the only reason the fast days progress is why? There's no rain. So obviously, the longer we go without rain, the more dire and severe the circumstances become, and the more the issues need to be addressed. So we ended up in the previous parak speaking about the last set of 7 days, where again people are not bathing and the food stores are closed. The Gemara is going to pick up with this. The Mishnah is going to pick up. Let's say they're tiny as Ketzad. So we will see which fast days the Mishnah is actually referring to. But with Pashtos, it's referring to the last seven. So Ketzad, how are they set up? Motzin esatev l'rechov v'shal ira. So once, if you can imagine this scene, they would take the Aron Kodesh out to this to the main street of the city. V'nosten efer makla agabi ateva. They would place ash on top of the mizbeach. Uberosh hanasi, uberosh av bezdin, and they would also put ash on the head of the nasi. So also remember, once the monarchy ended, so the nasi was the head of the Jewish people. Again, they tried when possible that the nasi should be from the Davidic line as well. So they would put ash on the head of the nasi. Uberosh av bezdin. So the av bezdin again is the guy right, not the guy, but the office right beneath the nasi, literally the head of the bezdin, head of the Sanhedrin. And everybody puts ash on their own head as well. Hazokin shebahen omer lifnehen divrei kivushin. So I said the ranking elder would go ahead and would recite divrei kivushin. Literally means words that capture the heart. So he would try to inspire them about the need to really take these fast days seriously. And what would he say? He said, Achinu. He would say, my brethren. Which I will say, by the way, is such a profound idea that he starts out, brethren, right? Because what was he trying to say? Again, he's about to give Musar, but the best way to give Musar is to be able to say, you know, talking to we're all in this together. It's not me talking down to you. It's all of us having this discussion together. Achinu, my brethren, lo ne'emar ba'an sheninve, vayar elokim es sakom ve'es ta'anisam. When it comes to the people of Nineveh, remember again, Nineveh is the city in the book of Yonah. That ultimately Yonah is dispatched to go in and tell them, Ba'od arbo imyon v'ninveh ne'apachas, that in 40 days the city of Nineveh is going to be destroyed. And that sparks a major tshuva movement in Nineveh. So this Zaken, this elder says, you know, when it comes to Nineveh, the Navi doesn't say that God saw their sackcloth and God saw their fasting. Rather, what does it say? Ela vayar elokim es ma'asehem ki shavu midarkom hara. Rather, it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw their actions, in that they repented from their negative ways. So what the elder was saying is, and also it's a very profound idea, that the fast day is really not about the fasting. The fasting is to be a vehicle to be able to spark a tshuva movement. But if all it is fasting, the absence of just eating and drinking, that is not a successful fast. Because at the end of the day, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw by Nineveh is that they changed their ways. Ubekabaluhu Omer, V'kharu es levavchem, v'es bigdechem. And again, he quotes over here the pasuk from Yoel. V'kiru levavchem, literally tear your heart. V'al bigdechem, and don't worry about tearing your clothing. So again, the Navi is saying that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants more than anything is an internal process, much more than any kind of external process. Amdu b'tfila. So then they would go ahead and they would daven. So remember again, dramatically also, the Aron has been moved out of the shul and is now in the street of the city. So the entire community is gathered together, davening together in the street. Who would daven? Amdu b'tfila. Moridin lefnei ateva zokein v'ragil v'yeshlo banim u'beso rekam. So we'll say this is amazing. So who would be the bal tfila for something like this? Zokein, someone older. Ragil, someone who was accustomed to davening. Rashi says, Ragil lehispalel utfiloso shigura befiv velo yite shekol chazen shetoa simen ra l'shol chav. It's a very incredible responsibility for chazanim. So Ragil means someone who davened on a regular basis. Therefore, again, he was familiar with the tfilos, and also that he wouldn't make mistakes when davening. And banim yeshlo banim, he has children. Ubeso rekam. The Bible says, Beis Orekam literally means that his home is empty. Now, there are two ways to understand this. Look at Rashi. He says, Mashma dehu ani ve'ein lo michya bebeiso. So, simple pshat is, he's poor. He has a family, he has children to support, and he does not have food at home. The Bible says, all of us know The most powerful prayers are ones that are recited in states of incredible desperate need. So you put a Baal Tefillah up there who's not just davening because he has a nice voice, or he has nice nikun, but literally he needs that rain because he has to feed his children. That's a Baal Tefillah. Rashi brings down another interpretation as well. He says, "V'gemar mefarish time achrina v'gufa naki me'averos shelo chata v'lo yatsa alav shum shem ra b'shum avera." Rashi also interprets that beso could be a reference to what? To his body. That beso rekam, his body is empty, meaning he has no sins. Obviously, also no sins means no sins that people know about. The idea is that he enjoys a good spiritual reputation. Okay, and what happens? Kadeshiye libo shalom b'tefila. And we want these qualities. He should be a zakein. He should be a ragil. Have children, empty house, either of averos or again poor, in order that his heart should be complete with the tefila. Va'omer l'fnei esrim va'arba brachos. And shmona esrei of a fast day. And again, also remember we saw already in the previous parak, and we'll discuss in this parak as well, which fast days get the special 24 bracha shmona esrei? Is it the first six? Is it just the last seven? Is it maybe not the first three, but the second three and the last seven? That we'll see. But we say 24 brachas. What are the 24 brachas? Yud ches shebechol yom. The 18 brachas we say every day. Obviously, this Mishnah is referring to before the institution of the 19th bracha of shmona esrei v'olam al shinim. So the 18 brachas that we say every single day. Umosif alein od sheish, and we add on another six brachas. And what are they? Ve'eluhin, zichronos shofros. We add on the bracha of zichronos, the bracha of, which again I will say is the same bracha of zichronos from Rosh Hashanah, right? That God remembers everything. Shofros, which is the bracha that discusses the power of the shofar. And furthermore, we add on the following ideas: El Hashem batzarasali karasi vayaaneni. We add on Kapitel Kuf Chaf 120, which discusses to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I've cried out in my tzar, and he has answered me. We add on, Esa Eina Ela Harim, I lift my eyes to the mountain from where my salvation come. Kapitel Kuf Chaf Aleph, Mi Ma'amakim Kirasicha Hashem, I call from you to you from the depths. Kapitel Kuf Lamed 130, Tfila La'ani Kiyatov, a tfila of the poor person when he wraps himself. Again, that's also Tehillim Kuf Beis 102. Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Huda says, and those are the supplemental brachos. We actually make each of those kapitlach into a bracha. So the Yimash Rabbi Huda says, Lo hayotzarech lomar zichronos to shofros. You don't have to say zichronos and shofros. And we'll discuss why that is in the Gemara. Ela omer tachtein, rather, what should you say? You should add an additional psukim. Ra'av ki yihye ba'aretz. Here's quoting over here the pasuk from Malachim. Dover kiyeba, excuse me, ra'av kiyeba aris, when there'll be a famine in the land, dever kiyehye, or there'll be some kind of pestilence. Then you add in afterwards, he quotes now from the pasuk from Yirmiyahu, asher hayu dvar Hashem el Yirmiyahu, al divrei habatzoros. These are the words of God to Yirmiyahu regarding literally the famines. Va'omer chosmehen, and you add on an additional bracha to conclude each of those brachos stated. And what do you say? Al Rishonah for the first bracha. The ending is Misha'ana es Avram Bahara Moria, Hu Ya'ana Eschem, V'yishma B'kol Tza'akaschem Hayom Azeh, Baruch Atah Hashem Goel Yisrael. So for the first additional bracha you add on, he who answered Avram Avinu and Hara Moria by the Akedah, he will answer you. He will hear the sound of your cries on this day. Blessed Hashem, you are the source of all blessing, glory, the Redeemer of Israel. Alashnia, for the second bracha, the conclusionary bracha is Mahu Omer, Mishanes Avsenu Al Yamsuf, Hu Ya'ane Eschem. He, God, who answered our forefathers at Yamsuf, he will answer us. V'yishma Kol Tzakaschem. He will hear the voice of your cries. Hayom Azeh on this day. Baruch Atah Hashem. Zocher Hanishkachos. Blessed are you, God, or God, you are the source of all blessing, the one who remembers all that is forgotten. Alash Lishes for the third bracha, Hu Omer Mishanes Yehoshua beGilgal, Hu Ya'aneschem. He who heard Yehoshua in Gilgal, which I will say was by the episode of Yericho, he will go ahead and he will answer you. V'yishma b'kol tzakaschem. He will hear the sounds of your cries. Hayom Azeh on this day, Baruch Atah Hashem Shomea Teruah. God who hears the cries. Al Raviyas for the fourth bracha, Hu Omer Mishanes Shmuel b'mitzpah, Hu Ya'aneschem, V'yishma b'kol tzakaschem Hayom Azeh. He who heard Shmuel in Mitzpah, this is when Shmuel was leading the Jewish army against the Plishtim. He who heard Shmuel in Mitzpah, he will answer you and he will hear the voice of your cries on this day. Baruch atah Hashem shomei tzaaka. Blessed are you, God who hears cries. Abba Chamishas for the fifth bracha, Omer. Misha'anes Eliyahu b'har ha-Karmel, hu ya'aneh eschem. He who heard Eliyahu on har ha-Karmel. I must remember what happened on har ha-Karmel. That was the big showdown that Eliyahu ha-Navi had with the Nevi Haba, the prophets of the Baal. So he who heard Eliyahu on har ha-Karmel. Hu ya'aneh eschem, he will hear you. V'yishma v'kol tzakaschem, he will hear your cries from us on this day. Baruch atah Hashem shomei tefillah. Blessed are you, God who hears prayer. Allah Shishis for the sixth bracha, who Omer, what's the conclusionary phrase, conclusionary bracha? Misha'ana es Yona b'meh ha-daga. He who heard Yona in the belly of the fish, after Yona was swallowed up, hu ya'ana eschem, he will hear you, v'yishma b'kol tzakaschem, and he will hear the sounds of your cries, hayom ezah on this day, baruch atah Hashem ha'one be'is tzara. Blessed are you, God, who hears again in times of distress. Alashias, I must say this is going to be a kasha, because interestingly enough, the Mishnah adds in now a conclusionary phrase for a seventh bracha. What's the only problem? The only problem is the Mishnah says that we only add on six in the fast day Shimon essay. So again, we'll see in the Gemara what to do with this. So Alashias, Omer, for the seventh bracha, he says, Misha'anez David that Shlomo ben Obi Yushalayim. He who answers David and Shlomo, his son, in Jerusalem, hu ya'ane eschem, he will answer you. V'yishma v'kol tzakaschem, and he will hear the voice of your cries. Hayom on this day, baruch atah Hashem hamerachim al ha'aretz. He who has compassion on our both sides. Just by the way, you'll notice if this. Why does this sound familiar? Slichos, right? We say this. We have a whole paragraph called Misha'ana. Misha'ana, and I will say, amazingly enough, that is taken from this Mishnah. So I don't know historically who put that together, but what they clearly did is they used this Mishnah as a springboard. We added another couple of Mishnahs, but amazingly enough, just gives you new appreciation, that tefillah comes from the actual tefillah of a Tanis Sibor. Quite amazing. Ma'aseh, there was an episode. Everybody said, you'll notice that it's also a very long Mishnah. The Mishnah goes all the way down, which is nice. Okay. So the Gemara said, Ma'aseh, Rabbi Chalafta, Rabbi Chanina ben Tragio. There was an episode with Rabbi Chalafta and Rabbi Chanina ben Tragio. Sha'avar b'echa lefne ha-teva, the Gemara sabracha kula, v'lo anu achrav amen. So Rabbi said, it once happened, I guess, in front of Rabbi Chalafta, Rabbi Chanina ben Tragio. Rabbi said, again, when Rabbi Chanina ben Tragio, by the way, we know him why. He was one of the Asar Haruya Malchus, which is important also because what this does is it frames the story post-Beis HaMikdash. Remember, again, Rabbi Chanina ben Tragio dies during Hadrianic persecution, which really begins after the Bar Kokhba rebellion. So it dates when this episode is happening, and that's important, you'll see, for the following reason. And what happened? Somebody was davening. Somebody was davening before the ark, v'gamara sabracha kula, and he finished the bracha, meaning one of the, Rashi says, kol osa bracha atzma, one of the additional brachos for the fast day. And what happened? V'lo anu acharav amen. And they did not go ahead and answer amen. The populace did not answer amen after the bracha. Instead, what did they say? They said, baruchu uvaruch shemo. Right? Baruchu uvaruch shemo. Or others say, it was baruch Hashem li'olam amen v'amen. We'll see in the Gemara. They gave some type of other answer. Tiku kohanim. Then what happened? Then the person who was leading the davening, not the chazan, but the person who was, Rashi says over here, chazan hakneses. Remember, chazan hakneses over here doesn't mean that, right, it's the gabai. Chazan hakneses is the gabai. So what happened? So the chazan, Rashi says over here, chazan hakneses omer lehana kol bracha ubracha v'ashamish v'lo shliach tzibor. So it's not that. Remember the way in Talmudic literature we refer to what we call today the chazan is the shliach tzibor. Chazan for our purposes means the gabbai. So the Gemara says the following. So what happened? The gabbai would say tiku hakohanim v'tiku. He would call out, go ahead and blow the shofar. Because remember, again, we'll see that blowing the shofar was also part of the tefillos of Tanis Sibor. So he'd make an announcement, blow the shofar. Mishanes Avram Avinu b'har Moriah, hu ya'aneh eschem, v'yishma v'kol tzakaschem hayom hazeh. And what happens then? They would say the bracha. He who answered Avraham Avinu Har Maria, he will answer you. He will go ahead and hear the voice of your cries on this day. And then again, the Gabbai would say, Hariu b'nei Aaron Hariu, sons of Aaron, blow the shofar, blow the shofar. Then they would say next bracha. Misharas avasina yamsuf, hu ya'ane eschem. So they'd go through all the brachos. He who answered your forefathers on yamsuf, he will answer you. Bishma b'kol tzakaschem, he will hear the voice of your cries. Hayom is on this day. They would do this bracha after bracha after bracha. So there were two things that were happening over here. Number one is that, again, the chazin, the gabbai, was announcing to blow the shofros after each and every bracha. Remember, again, the 24 brachos are not something that you daven in your personal shmonas, right? The 24 brachos were only said when? In chazaras hashatz. So the Gemara is telling me that in chazaras hashatz, first of all, two things were happening. Number one, that after each bracha, the gabbai would announce to go ahead and blow the shofar. That's number one. And number two, what was happening over here is that they were not answering amen. Instead, they were giving some other answer, either baruch hu, baruch shemo, baruch Hashem, the olam, amen. The amen was seen in the Gemara, what the possible answers were, but they weren't answering amen. So the Gemara says, ukishabad davar itzach hachamim. And when this style of davening came before the chachamim, Amru, the Chachamim said, Lo hayu noagin kein, ela b'shar mizrach u'bahar abayis. They would only do this literally in Shar Mizrach, in the eastern gate, on the Har Abayis. In other words, what they said is, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, we answer Amen to Brachos. The only time that there were other answers, that there were other responses to Brachos other than Amen, is inside of the Beis HaMikdash. But now that we don't yet have, again, the Beis HaMikdash, so we do not go ahead and give these more prolific answers. Rather, we just simply keep it at a simple Amen. Okay, Shavuot, interestingly enough, this was happening in front of Rabbi Chalaf, Rabbi Hanina ben Trajon. So whatever reason, they didn't seem to have such a problem with it. But interestingly enough, the other Rabbanim said, no, we don't do this outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Fine. Shalosh Ta'anios HaRishonos. Shavuot, so now the Gemara is going to go through the impact of the fast days on the Kohanic shifts. Remember, again, just word of introduction, we know that there are 24 Mishmoros. There are 24 groupings of the Kohanim. Each Mishmar was divided up into what we call seven Batei Avos, which means, again, seven families. So each Mishmar served a week. Each Beis Av, each family served one day of that week. Okay, so now that we know that, the Mishnah says the following. So, Anshei Mishmar, Mis'anev L'mashlim. So we'll say, again, the Anshei Mishmar. Anshei Mishmar refers to the people who are on call that week, but it's not their day. It's not their day. So those individuals, if there's a communal fast day for rain, so they go ahead and they fast. V'lo mashlim. We'll say, Mashlim means that they need not fast until the end of the day. That sometimes shortly before nightfall, they go ahead and they break their fast. Rashi says over here, Rashi says, V'lo mashlimin, sha'adayin einan chamurin kolkach. So we'll see, this is referring to ultimately the first set of fast days. So because the first set of fast days are not as intense, the people who are on call that week, again, not the people who are on call that day, the people who are on call that week fast, but they don't have to complete the fast till the end. Instead, they break their fast sometime a little bit before nightfall. And Rashi points out over here, Begimar Mefari Shama, Shama Tichbat Havod Al Anshe Beis Av, She'e Ovdino Sayom, Ubon Him Lesayim, V'imhe Mis'anem Lo Hayo Lehem Koach La'abor Ba'avod. So we'll say, interesting, we'll see later on, that there were times where if there was a heavy volume of karbanos, the Beis Av, the family that was in call, that was working that day, who sometimes need the assistance of other families. In order to ensure that the other families of Kohanim would be ready to pitch in if necessary, they were not asked to fast the entire day, but rather they were asked to fast the majority of the day and would break their fast sometime before nightfall. Fine. Shaloshnios, but I will say this only for the first set of fasts. Shaloshnios, in the second set of fasts, Va'anshe Beis Av, and the Kohanim who were working that day, meaning that they were literally working, that was their day, Lohayu Mis'anin Klal. They would not fast at all because they were supposed to be occupied with the avoda. That's the first set of fast days. Shalosh Neos, what about the second set of three fast days? Anshe Mishmar Mesanin Umashlimin. Supposed to be the people who aren't called, meaning who have to be in the Beis HaMikdash that week, but it's not their day. They fast the entire day. V'anshe Beis Av, the people who are on call that day, Mis'anin v'lo mashlimin. They fast, but they need not complete the fast in its entirety. They break the fast sometime before nightfall. However, Sheva Achronos, when you come to the last set of seven fasts, which are the most intense, Elu v'elu mis'anin u'mashlimin. I will say the halach is that what? Everyone fasts. Everyone fasts the entire day. Both the what we call the Anshei Mishmar, as well as the Anshei Beis Av, Divrei Rabbi Yoshua. These words of Rabbi Yoshua. The chum say no. Shalosh Taniyos Harishonos, Elu v'elu lo hayu mis'anin klal. Chum have a different approach. Chum say the first set of three fasts, which are not as severe, none of the Kohanim who are on call that week fast. No one fasts. So what we call that entire Mishmar, the entire Mishmar, which is the group of Kohanim whose week that is, none of them fast that day. Shalosh Nios, what about the second set of three fast days? Anshei Mishmar, Mis'anin, V'lo Mashlimin. So also the people of the Mishmar, i.e. the people who are on call, but whose day, but are not, who are not working that day. So they go out and they fast, but they need not complete the fast in its entirety. V'anshei Beis Av, and the people who are on call that day, Lo Hayu Mis'anin Klal, would not fast at all. Sheva Achronos, however, again, what about the last set of seven fast days? Anshei Mishmar, Mis'anin, Mashlimin. And also the people who, Anshei Mishmar, the people who are on call, but it's not their day. They fast the entire day. V'anshei Beis Av, Mis'anin, V'lo Mashlimin. But the people who are on call that day, they fast, but they do not complete the fast in its entirety. So we'll say, now once we went ahead and we brought up the discussion about what the Kohanim on call do and don't do, so the Mishnah uses this as an opportunity to speak about some of the other halachos. So we'll say we're in Tess Vav Amud Bey's second wide line. Anshei Mishmar, similarly, we'll say again, the Kohanim who are on call, Mutarin Lishtos Yayin Balayla, Aval Yob Lo B'yamim. They're permitted to drink wine at night, but not during the day. Remember, again, a Kohen cannot do the avoda if he drinks even just a revius of wine. So the Mishnah says like this. At night, the Anshei Mishmar, remember again, Anshei Mishmar who, the Kohanim were on call that week, but it's not their particular day. They could drink at night, since again, there's no active avoda done at night. But they can't drink by day. Why can't they drink by day? Because it was, as you said before, there's always the possibility that what? There's going to be a heavy volume of karbanos, and they are going to need to help the on-call family. V'anshei Beis Av, but Rabbi will say again, the people, the family who's literally on-call that day, lo bayom v'lo balayla. They may not drink that day, nor may they drink that night. Because Rabbi will say again, even though, remember, there's no technical avod, there's no sacrificial service at night. What was done at night? Was the burning of the leftover fats and limbs. That's a form of avoda also. Therefore, because they were working at night, they were not permitted to drink white wine at night as well. Similarly, Anshei Mishmar, V'Anshei Ma'amod, Asurin Milisaper Umilakabis. They both say the people of the Mishmar, which means again, that refers to the seven Kohanic families who were on call that particular week, are not permitted to go ahead and take a haircut, and they're not permitted to launder their clothing. Rashi says over here, Asurin Milisaper Umilakabis. So we'll see Rabbi say why this is. But the idea is we want the Anshei Mishmar to take care of their grooming needs and their laundering needs prior to the start of their week of service. And we'll say the Mishnah also includes over here Anshei Ma'amad. So we'll discuss this more in depth in the Gemara. But the Anshei Ma'amad was very interesting. The halacha is that by karbanos, when you offer a karban, so the owner is supposed to be present at the time of offering. Technically speaking, there are two communal karbanos that are offered every single day. A tamid shel shachar, a morning tamid, and an afternoon tamid. Now, technically, what should that require? That should require that all of Klal Yisrael is present in the Beis HaMikdash in the morning and the evening. So what Chazal set up was what's called Ma'amados. Ma'amados are groups of Yisraelim who are always present at the Beis HaMikdash, and they essentially serve as what? They serve as the shluchim, as the agents for Klal Yisrael. So it's like a mishmar of Yisraelim. So the same halacha applies to the Anshei Ma'amad as well.
Only Yisraelim?
I'm sorry?
Only Yisraelim.
These were not Kohanim and Levim. Ubechamishi mutar. However, again, on Thursday, they were permitted to get a haircut or to launder their clothing. Mipnei kavod haShabbos. Out of kavod to Shabbos. Okay, fine. So the Gemara stops there. So the Gemara now says, it brings up another topic. Kol HaKasuv Megillas Tainis. They will say, we've discussed Megillas Tainis before. Megillas Tainis. Thank you very much. Great. Miguel's Tainus. Good. All right, so you can see Dr. Krumbein if you want to see Miguel's Tainus. Remember, again, we've referenced Miguel's Tainus before, that this was a list. It's actually interesting. You think it's a list of fast days. It's actually not what it is. Well, it's a list of days that were considered to be Yomim Tovim, on which you were not permitted to fast. That's why it's called Megillas Tanis, interestingly enough. So again, it also had in there fast days as well, but the primary purpose of it were like these minor type of holidays in which Chazal said, don't fast, because again, the day has a tone of simcha attached to it. So the Gemara says the following, Kalakas of Megillas Tanis, anything day that's written in Megillas Tanis, any day that's written in Megillas Tanis was considered to be a Yom Tov, and because it's a Yom Tov, you are not permitted to deliver eulogies on these days. We find this concept that any day that has like the fabric of a Yom Tov ultimately does not have eulogies, and therefore the halacha is lefanav aser, laacharav mutar. What the Mishnah now suggests is, Rabbi said, any day that was included in Megillas Tainis, it's not just the day itself that you're not allowed to eulogize, but what? You also can't eulogize the day before. However, you are permitted to what? You are permitted to go ahead and eulogize the day after. Rashi says over here, if you look at the Rashi, Kalakos of Megillas Tainis, the Lumisbeid Bahon, so if you look at the last couple of lines, he says, Vasura Behesbeid Lefanov, Asura Behesbeid, so apparently what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that Lemaisa, the rabbis also said you can't give a eulogy on the day before these minor Yamim Tovim, out of concern that if we let you do it the day before, then what? You may come to do it the day of as well. Rabbi Yossi says, Lefanav ula acharav aser. Rabbi Yossi said, actually, no, the halacha is that you may not give a eulogy on the day before these days, and what? Yeah. And on the day after these days. So Erev Yom Tov and Isru Chag. So the Gemara goes weiter. Another interesting point. You cannot declare the start of a public fast day on a Thursday in order not to drive up prices. I will say, now what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Achos l'leil chamishi, v'achos l'shabbis, svurim sheba ra'av li'olam, umiyakrim umatkim hashar. This is very interesting. So remember, not every store owner was Jewish. So what's going to happen? If you can imagine, so the Gentile store owners see that on Thursday night, the Jews are coming and they're buying, the Jews are coming, right? And they're buying massive amounts of food. Now, why are they buying massive amounts of food? Because they need two big sudas, because they're Jewish. That's number one. And number two, they're buying even more food now because they have to break their fast on Thursday night. And they also have to buy a suuda for Shabbos. What could happen? It could cause panic. The merchants might think, look, the Jews control the world anyway, including, again, when there's famine. The Jews obviously know something that no one else knows. So what happens? Famine must be coming. And what is that going to do to us? That's an incredible spike, in food prices. So therefore, the Gemara says, don't start public fast days on Thursdays. Instead, when should you start them? Start them on Mondays. So that's why, again, remember, fast days work on a Monday-Thursday model. So therefore, that way, if you're starting the series of fast days on a Monday, by the time you get to Thursdays, everyone knows, including the Gentile shopkeepers, that's what? That the Jews are fasting. And they recognize the fact that the Jews are buying a lot of food. It's nothing to do with famine coming to the world, and it won't adversely affect the prices.
Because they're not buying as much?
No, because they know that it's a fast day. They know that when they come on Thursday night and they're purchasing two large quantities of food, it's because they fasted today, not because again there's any kind of time. Because again, they've already heard about this process of fasting, already starting from the previous Monday. So the Gemara says the following: Ela shalosh ta'anios harishonos sheni v'chamishi v'sheni. Rather, again, the first set of three fast days should be organized on a Monday, Thursday, Monday model. V'shalosh shenios, and the second set of three fast days, Chamishi v'sheni v'chamishi. So we'll say, interesting enough, the first thing in the Mishnah says, this is only a concern with the first set of fast days. Because again, the shopkeepers might not know about the fast. By the time you get to the second round of fast, the shopkeepers are already familiar with the fast days. And therefore what? You could even go ahead and begin it on a Thursday. However, Rabbi Yossi says, no, k'shem she'in gozrin. K'shem she'in arishonos b'chamishi, kach lo shnios b'lo acharos. Rabbi Yossi says, no, it's not true. You should never start the fast days, both the first set of three, the second set of three, as well as the last set of seven, should never be started on a Thursday in order not to drive up the prices, but they should always be started on a Monday. We do not declare public fast days on Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, or Purim. These are all rabbinic holidays. However, again, if they initiated a series of fasts, and let's say again one of those fasts fell out on one of these days, Ein mafsikin divrei Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel says we do not stop the fast and we let them fast. I will say we will see exactly what this refers to. Rashi points out over here. He says v'mischilu shekiblu tanis mikodem lochem v'nichnas ben rosh chodesh. Ein mafsikin the apokav dekrimo lo ksibei mishta v'simcha. I will say Panshas, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is not for Chanukah and Purim. For Chanukah and Purim you will never fast. But if, let's say, you initiated a series of fast days, and one of those fast days happens to fall out on Rosh Chodesh, so as much as Lechatchila, we do not fast on Rosh Chodesh, if Rosh Chodesh falls out in the middle of the series of these fast days, we will still go ahead and fast. Amar Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir says, Af ha-pi sh'amar Rabbi Gamliel in mafsikin, mode haya she'in mashlimin. Even though Rabbi Gamliel said that what? That if Rosh Chodesh fell out in the middle of these three fasts, we would still fast. However, again, Rabbi Gamliel also agrees that what? That you would not complete the fast. Right? Meaning that you would go ahead and you would end the fast sometime before nightfall. V'chein Tisha B'av shechal lios be'erev Shabbos. And Abba said the same thing would apply with what? With Tisha B'av, which again for us now is a calendrical impossibility. But again, in the old days with Kiddush HaChodesh, it was a possibility that if Tisha B'av fell out on Friday, so what would happen? They would fast, obviously. But they would not fast all the way until Shabbos. They would end the fast a little bit before nightfall on Friday. Says the Gemara, Seder Ta'anios Ketzah. So remember again, the Mishnah began by talking about what's the order of the fast days. So the Mishnah said we take out the ark to the street, the ark to the street. And this is true even when? This is true even in the first set of three fast days. Mar says, Raminu, is that true? Shalosh Ta'anios Rishonos Ushnios. But yet the Brisa says that what? For the first two sets of three fast days, we enter into the shul and we daven the same way we daven throughout the year. However, ubisheva achronos, when it comes to the last seven fast days, then we take the ark out to the city, to the street of the city. We put ashes on the top of the ark, and on the head of the Nasi, on the head of the head of the Beis Din, on the head of the Beis Din, and every person takes ash and places it on their head. So Rabbi Nasan Omer, Eifer Maklehin Mevin. So the Gemara says, Eifer Maklehin Mevin. So Rabbi Nasan says that they bring Eifer Maklehin. We'll see exactly what that means a little bit later on. Amra Papa, Kitnan Nami. So we'll say, the point is, there's a contradiction. Why? Because our Mishnah makes it sound like when did they move the Aron out into the street? When? When? Even from the beginning, from the first set of three fast days. The Bryce explicitly says that when did they move the Aron into the street? On the last seven, to which the Gemara says, no contradiction. Rapapa, Amar Rapapa, Kitnan Nami Masnisin Asheva Achronostan. You're right. Our Mishnah, when it speaks of the moving out of the Aron, also is referring to what? The last seven fast days. Is not referring to the first six. The Gemara goes weiter. Uberosh HaNasi. Remember again, the Mishnah said they place ash on the head of the Nasi. V'hadar Tani kol echad ve'echad notel v'nosim b'rosho. But yet again, afterwards, what does the Mishnah say? So we put on the head of the Nasi, and then what does it say? It says that we go ahead and everybody puts on their heads as well. So I mean, like, what's the big deal over here? Why do you have to point out that they're putting on the heads of the Nasi if the Mishnah says afterwards that what? Everyone is placing ashes on their heads. If everybody's placing ashes on their head, obviously, the Nasi is included in everyone as well, to which the Gemara says, is this so? And I will say, what the Gemara is essentially asking is the following. What the Gemara is saying is that Lemaisa, even though everyone is putting on their head, what the Mishnah clearly is saying is what? Is that the Nasi puts it on his head first. The Nasi does it before everyone else, and then everyone else follows suit. So the Gemara says, is that true? That the Nasi should be going ahead and placing the ash on his head first. Fatana, we learned. Rebbe says, Bigidula maschilin mina gadol, ubiklala maschilin mina katan. Rebbe says that when it comes to Gidula, Rashi says over here, mitzvah ba'alma shlo leparnos. When it comes to good things, demonstrations of blessing, demonstrations of honor, we begin from the greatest person. When it comes to klala, matters of punishment or negativity, we begin with the lowest person. Where do we see this? Bigidula maskil min hagadol. When it comes to matters of greatness, we begin with the greatest individual. Shneamar vayomer Moshe el Aaron ule Elazar ule Itamar. So what's that? Because the pasuk says that Moshe said to Aaron, Elazar, and Abihu. This happens to be after the death of Nadav and Abihu. Moshe is giving the instructions about not to engage in any of the behavioral displays of mourning. But the point is what? That who does Moshe begin talking to? He begins to Aaron, and then Elazar and Itamar afterwards. So you see again that here this is a display of what we call Gidula, because this is Moshe conveying the word of God. And here you see Moshe beginning with the greatest one, his brother, and then working his way down the chain. However, again, B'klala Maskil Min HaKatan. How do we know again that when it comes to matters of klala, curse, negativity, punishment, we begin with the lower one? The Amar Mar, bitchila niskal el nachash, v'achar kach niskal el chaval, v'achar kach niskal el adam. Because we'll say again, in the aftermath of the sin of the Eitz Das Tov Hara, who is cursed first? The nachash. So you see from here with matters of negativity, ultimately again, the nachash is dealt with first. So we'll say, so what's the kasha? We assume that what? That the placement of the ash is something negative. It's something negative. So we would assume that who should go first? The regular people. Who should go last? The Nasi. And yet, again, what does the Mishnah say? The Nasi has the ash placed on his head first. What's the pshat? What's his very profound? No, in fact, again, it's actually chashivos. It's actually something important. It's actually a display of chashivos for the Nasi to have the ash placed on his head first. Why? The Amri Lahu, because essentially what we say to the Nasi is Asun Chashivusu. You are so important. Lemi Boi Alon Rachami Akuli Alma. You are so important that what? That literally you can daven on behalf of everyone else. By placing the ashes on the head of the Nasi, what we are saying is that essentially you are the equivalent of the entire populace. You are so important that if you were to truly petition HaKadosh Baruch Hu for rain, if you were to put your heart into davening for Klal Yisrael, then ultimately, again, you would be successful on our behalf. The Mishnah goes on and says the following. Let's see, that actually, we'll stop over here. We'll stop over here. Okay, so we'll pick up over here, Amiras Hashem, tomorrow. All right, stay tuned to your email for what we're going to do. It is a long daf, but let me take a look at it first. I also just remind you, there is a Shiva Minyan again at Kozlovsky. Whoever needs to get there, we'll give everybody a little bit of extra time to be able to get there this morning. We'll pick up here tomorrow.